And we are back with you on Mind Body Radio. I am Paul Dana. Welcome aboard. Thank you for being with us today. And I'd also like to welcome Dr. Kristen Haltom. Dr. Haltom, hello. How are you today?
I am well, Paul. Nice to speak with you.
Dr. Chris Haltom is a New York State licensed clinical psychologist, also part-time faculty in the Department of Psychology at Ithaca College in New York State. Where are you speaking to us from today, Dr. Chris?
Ithaca, New York.
Excellent, excellent. Up in Ithaca. What I'd like to do is to provide you with the opportunity to tell the audience about your website, any social media sites that you have, your phone, your email, any way you feel is appropriate for listeners who want to reach out to you.
Very good. I am a certified eating disorder specialist and also a clinical psychologist, and what I love to do is to act as an agent of change with people, whether it be my students at Ithaca College or providing psychotherapy services in my office. I've been working at this for almost 40 years.
Wow.
And one of the things I also like to do is present at conferences. So, for example, this summer, I'm getting a chance to speak at the American Psychological Association National Conference about eating disorders.
Now, when you mention eating disorders, does that run the scale from people who eat too much to people with things like bulimia?
Absolutely. There's a wide range of eating disorders. So people are familiar with anorexia nervosa, which is a restrictive eating disorder at one end of the spectrum in terms of relationship with food. And at another end of the spectrum, we have something like emotional eating, overeating, and there's also a type of eating disorder that relates to anxiety. So some people stay away from foods or avoid foods because they're afraid of what those foods might do to them. So there are a wide variety of types of eating disorders.
Yeah, and I want to get into that in a moment because I have a question for you on that. But I did want to mention at the very beginning that Dr. Chris's website is drchris.com. And we'll review that contact information later. But we did want to give people the chance to know how to reach you there on the web in case they want to look at the website. Okay, so Dr. Chris, and I understand that is a wide range from anorexia to binging, let's say. But I'm just wondering, could it be considered an eating disorder how people tend to eat out of stress and then eat the wrong foods because it's highly processed and high calorie and high carb and everything that's not good for you? Is that also part of eating disorders?
Absolutely. Sounds like you've done some reading. It is true that people don't binge usually on chicken or broccoli. They are more likely to binge on sugary foods, salty foods, crunchy foods, snack foods. And one of the reasons that those foods are so attractive is because there is a reward center in the brain that is positively impacted and quickly impacted by those foods. So there's a reward feedback loop going on that creates a kind of food addiction.
Hmm. So that's a very vicious circle because it's very hard to break. It becomes habitual.
It is really difficult to break because our society puts an emphasis on being thin and dieting. And when people eat too much food, they often not only don't feel well at the end, but they feel very guilty. And then the guilt drives more eating because another function that overeating plays is to numb our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes quite a vicious circle.
It becomes hopeless and habitual at the same time. And that could just compound the problem.
Yes. And then when people come into treatment and they begin to normalize their food and rebalance their food, a lot of times it creates anxiety and feelings of deprivation. So it's not an easy treatment for people because they're letting go of something that they were receiving short-term reward from. And they feel deprived.
Dr. Chris Haltom, I read something in the materials you provided to us, and there's an interesting correlation between technology and the way people use it and more likely to have risk of eating disorder? I'm not going to say it, but I'd like to have you explain it for us.
Okay. We did some research at Ithaca College where we asked students, both men and women, to respond to a survey regarding their use of communication through digital means, so versus face-to-face communication. So we compared people who had a high degree of digital social communication to people who were more likely to use face-to-face communication with people. And we looked at how those variables impacted people's risk for an eating disorder. So, for example, people who have a high drive to be thin, or people who are very dissatisfied with their body, or people who have body image distortion, they feel they're too heavy and they're unhappy with their bodies, are a much higher risk for an eating disorder. And what we found was that people who primarily socialize through digital means, at texting, social media, IMing, they were more likely to have a risk for an eating disorder than people who focused on face-to-face communication with their friends. So one idea is that eating disorders tend to isolate people from each other because eating disorders involve so much preoccupation with obsession with food or restricting food. So we associate disconnection and more distant communication with eating disorders, and we were looking to see if, in fact, people who are at risk for eating disorders are more likely to steer away from face-to-face and to use digital communication. And we found some support for that. Also, people who are on social media a lot and use digital communication are more exposed to media that focuses on thinism and diet culture. So there are probably a number of factors related to why we found a positive relationship between socializing primarily through digital means and risk for eating disorders.
So what you're saying is stronger social connections can reduce the risk of getting into trouble with an eating disorder on either end of the spectrum.
That is true. Although when you say social connection, what we would be encouraging as a prevention strategy is face-to-face communication.
Right, that's what I meant. Not texting, but sitting down and talking to someone. But, you know, interestingly, how many times have you seen people in a diner or a restaurant, they're eating, but they're looking at their phones? Because I've seen
it. Sometimes people are together, sitting together, or even three or more people are sitting together, and they're all on their phones.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. You're sitting right there. It just seems bizarre. I don't know.
You're right. It does seem bizarre. And again, if we're looking to prevent eating disorders, we would encourage people to put those phones down, look at each other, and actually communicate.
You know, to be fair, if it's a couple of people sitting around, two or three people in there, they're having a discussion and they're talking about sports, and somebody wants to check out a point of fact, and they're looking on their phone because they want to Google something. I mean, that I can understand. But if they're having a conversation with somebody else while they're sitting with someone eating, I think that's the extreme in my mind.
Right, you're making a really important distinction. There is a plus to social media, of course, in that it allows people to stay connected. And as you said, check facts during a conversation. And I agree with you. If the choice is between communicating with somebody digitally and communicating with a person who's sitting across from you, I would pick the latter.
Dr. Kristen Haltom is our guest. She is a New York State licensed clinical psychologist, part-time faculty in the psychology department at Ithaca College, and she is a certified eating disorder specialist. Dr. Christ, could you just once again relate your contact information, the website, the phone, the email for us?
Sure. My email, I use my alumni address, is CCE2@Cornell.com. CORNELL.EDU. And my website is www.drcrishaltom.com.
Well, Dr. Chris,
I welcome people to contact me.
Thank you so much. This 10 minutes that we had together today really flew by, but I do appreciate the time, and I hope that at some point maybe we'll have a chance to talk again.
Okay. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you so much, and we'll be coming back with more right after this.